I'm pulling out my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for the drive to work. Okay, so today it's all about the proliferate mechanic. One of the all-time favorite mechanics that I've ever been involved in making. I'm a huge fan of proliferate. So we're going to talk about proliferate. We're going to talk about where it came from and its evolution. It's been in a bunch of sets. And that today is proliferate's story. Okay, first and foremost, what is proliferate? For those that might not know the mechanic. So it's a keyword action, sort of a verb that does something. And what it says is, for every player and permanent on the battlefield that has a counter on it, you may choose to put another copy of that counter. So for example, if a player has a counter, say a poison counter, you may choose to give them another poison counter. If a permanent has a +1/+1 counter, or an oil counter, or a -1/-1 counter, you may choose to give an additional counter. If a permanent or player has more than one type of counter, you may choose to give them each of one of those types of counters. So if a creature has a +1/+1 and a oil counter on it, you can give it an additional +1/+1 and additional oil counter, for example. You are not obligated to give anybody a counter. If you have a poison counter and you wish not to have another poison counter, you can avoid giving yourself another poison counter. And you can pick and choose which permanents you want to give a counter and which permanents you do not want to give a counter. You are not obligated to do that. And as far as players go or permanents go, you can choose any player, any permanent. The only rule is it must have a counter on it. You cannot, in order to proliferate, you are making additional counters for a counter that exists. You can't make a counter that doesn't exist. And you can't change the counter. You can only make one more of an existing counter. And like I said, you don't have to do. You can choose not to do that. And players can respond to you doing it. So they could sack a creature that has a counter. They can do something in response to you doing that, and then you wouldn't put a counter on it. In a two-headed giant game, if the team has a poison counter, you can give the totality of the whole team one more poison counter. Okay, where exactly did this mechanic come from? Well, proliferate goes back to the set Scars of Mirrodin. So a little history on the Phyrexians. The Phyrexians were a villain that first showed up in Antiquities. Antiquities was it's the second ever Magic expansion. The first one with an original story to it. Obviously, Arabian Nights is telling the story of Arabian One, 1001 Arabian Nights. But the Brothers' War, Antiquities doesn't exactly tell the whole story, but it hints at the story and gives you pieces of the story. And for the very first time, you learn of the Phyrexians that play a role in the Brothers' War. The Phyrexians would then show up again, being the major villain of the Weatherlight Saga, of which they were dispatched, they were destroyed, they were eradicated on every plane of the multiverse. So clearly, we were done with them. But we weren't done with them. Brady Dommerith and I, Brady was in charge of the creative team at the time, we were both big fans of the Phyrexians. They're my favorite magic villains. So we hatched a plan, and the plan was, in original Mirrodin, we hinted, Karn unwillingly brought some Phyrexian oil when he made the plane of Mirrodin, and it was infected, but very subtly infected, and we hinted at that. In fact, in the novel for Mirrodin, the main bad guy, rubs some oil and it goes into his fingers. We don't talk much about it, but it corrupts him, it corrupts Mirrodin, so we knew the plan was we were going to come back and we were going to show that Phyrexian had corrupted Mirrodin. So for those that know the story, or I'll tell the story, the original plan was the fall set was going to be new Phyrexia. And we were going to come, remember old Phyrexia that got destroyed in Invasion Block with the end of the Weatherlight Saga? Well, there's a different Phyrexia, a new Phyrexia. But we weren't going to tell you exactly where they were from. And the idea was at the end of the block, sort of inspired by the final scene, spoiler here, but the final scene in Planet of the Apes when he sees the Statue of Liberty and he realizes he's on Earth. I'm sorry if I ruined a movie that's from the 60s. But anyway, the idea was in the last set, you'd realize that this new Phyrexia is actually Mirrodin. Oh my goodness. But we realized while making the fall set that we were kind of not telling the interesting story, meaning the fall of Mirrodin to the Phyrexians was a cool story. So what we ended up doing was the Phyrexians show up in Scarves of Mirrodin. I think they're on 10% of the cards. There's a watermark. Then, in the middle set, Mirrodin Besieged, they're 50%. And then there's a giant war. And then we say to the audience, we don't know the outcome. Depending on the outcome, either of the sets, if the Mirrodins win, it's going to be Mirrodin Pure, the third set. But if the Phyrexians win, it'll be New Phyrexia. And then obviously it was New Phyrexia because the Phyrexians won. And the idea was we were sort of, we wanted the Phyrexians to come back strong and make a statement of, we came to one of the most powerful planes and even they couldn't resist us. And the idea was the Phyrexians were stuck. They didn't have a means to travel between planes. So while they dominated on Mirrodin, now New Phyrexia, they were stuck there. Obviously, that would become a big storyline for the Phyrexian arc later on. We'll get to that today. Okay, so we were making Scarves of Mirrodin. And the idea, the real idea of the block was we wanted to reintroduce the Phyrexians as villains. So one of the things I was really interested in was trying to give a definition to the Phyrexians, a mechanical definition. There's a few things they had done before. They'd mostly been only on black cards. They were tied to artifacts. But there wasn't a lot the mechanical definition of the Phyrexians was slight. And so we did a bunch of things. One, we wanted to broaden them out to all five colors. But I was really interested in figuring out how do we represent the Phyrexians. And so the idea that we landed on that I was very excited by was the idea of Phyrexians as a disease. That essentially they were spreading their disease throughout the multiverse. And like a disease, diseases just keep spreading themselves. That's what diseases do. That the Phyrexians were just like this force of nature that just was slowly taking over. You know, they were just spreading. That's what they did. And the idea that I liked about the disease metaphor was, I think we came up with four adjectives to describe the Phyrexians. See if I can remember my four adjectives. They were toxic, they were viral, they were relentless, and they were adaptive, I think was the fourth one. So the idea is that they're hard to stop because they just keep coming. So I was really enamored by the idea of Phyrexian as disease. And so I made a card. So the card I made... Oh, so part of showing that the Phyrexians were this sort of harsh form, we came up with an ability we called Infect. So Infect, one of the ideas that I was really excited by was tying poison to Phyrexia. Oh, they're a disease. Well, we had this mechanic called poison that I had been trying to get back in the game forever. And poison does this thing where it's an alternate win condition. If you give players poison, if they get 10 poison counters, they lose the game. And we don't give you a way to get, other than an obscure homelands card, we don't give you a way to get rid of poison. So the idea is once you get poison, you just get closer and closer to death. And I thought poison was a really cool fit for the Phyrexians. And then when we were making Phyrexia, there's a mechanic that we had done in Shadowmoor called Wither. And the way Wither worked is all damage was done in the form of a -1/-1 counter. And that felt very diseasey. So originally we were going to do Wither in to represent the Phyrexians. But then we realized we came up with the idea of Infect. So what Infect was, it was kind of Wither plus poisonous, sort of. So the idea is you do all your damage to creatures in the form of -1/-1 counters and to players in the form of poison counters. It was really cool. Ended up being a little strong, but it was very cool. So Infect was a major part of the set, which meant -1/-1 counters and poison counters were a big part of the set. I guess that's important before I get to my card. So anyway, I made a card. I forget what I called it. But the idea was I wanted to represent that, you know, the Phyrexians were a disease. So I made a card that said, for every creature that has a -1/-1 counter, put another -1/-1 counter on it. And for every player that has a poison counter, put another poison counter on them. So the idea is it spreads, right? If the -1/-1 counters and the poison counters represent the disease, aha, I spread the disease. And so I made that as just a single card. But we were playing in play. I think I made it, I'm not sure whether it was a rare or uncommon. But it was pretty cool. So I ended up making it a vertical cycle. I really liked it. I thought it was a really cool card. And then I think I decided that just to make it play a little bit better, that I let you, the person playing the card, decide who got the counters. Meaning, if you and your... Because originally, the original version, it just, you know, it affected anything. If your creatures had minus one counters, you got the counters. If you had poison, you got the counters. And what I realized was that it was fun, but if I made you affect yourself, you just played it a lot less. Because in Scars of Mirrodin, there's poison going around. So eventually what I said is, okay, what if I let you choose? You control, like, what disease spreads. So the change was, okay, for each creature with a minus one counter or a player with a poison counter, you may choose. So if you had a poison counter, you don't have to give yourself an extra poison counter, but you can give one to your opponent. And you don't have to give your creatures more minus one counters, but you can give them to your opponent's creatures. So that was very exciting. And so, I made it into a vertical cycle. And at one point, I liked it so much, I'm like, well, maybe we want more than a vertical cycle. Maybe we should make this a mechanic. It just felt so... the flavor of it was so strong to me. Especially in the world of minus one counters and poison counters. At one point... So I'm thinking about making a mechanic. I think I actually made it into a mechanic. One of the members of my team, a guy named Mark Lobis, he said to me, this affects minus one counters and poison counters, but could it affect other counters? I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, well, magic has other counters. What if we just let you affect any counter? I was like, that is an amazing idea. I was very, very focused on it as, like, representing disease. That's why I was thinking poison at minus one. But the set also... So one of the things we had done in the set, because there were poison counters in the set, I had also, just like to parallel... because Mirrodin was an artifact of that we had done a bunch of, like, charge counters. The original Mirrodin had Judd charge counters. So I was bringing that back to feel like Mirrodin. So we did, in fact, have counters on cards that weren't minus one, or poison counters. And I'm like, oh, it's kind of cool that if I'm playing a Phyrexian deck, oh, I can use it to, like, inflame the disease. But if I'm playing a Mirrodin deck, maybe I'm just pumping up my own things to give them more uses and stuff like that. And that felt really cool. And... I like the idea of just it made it more generally useful. Like, one of the things we're always thinking about is backward compatibility. Now, poison existed before Scars of Mirrodin, but not on a lot of cards. Maybe in all of Magic before Scars of Mirrodin, it had been on, I don't know, 10, 15 cards. Like, poison first appeared in Legends on 2 cards, and then it showed up sporadically. Like, Mirage had a card, and, like, they would show up every once in a while. We tried to do a big push in Tempest to do a big poison set, and Arnie decided not only to take poison out of Tempest, but just take it out of the game. I then tried to put poison into Unglue 2, always on vegetables was the joke. But anyway, Unglue 2 didn't happen. Then when we made Future Sight, I made 2 cards on the Future Shifter cheat, 2 or 3 cards, have poison on them. I was hinting at poisonous, like, oh, poison's coming back. So there was a little bit, and minus one counters did pre-exist Scars of Mirrodin. Like, for example, Shadowmoor had used minus one counters because of Wither. So the idea was there was some backward compatibility, but making any counter was just exciting. Now you could buff your +1/+1 counters. You could buff, it just made it much more open-ended. And one of the things in general that we like is you want to be more open-ended. I like when making mechanics, hey, in this set here, it's doing this thing, but it'd be kind of neat if it did other things in other sets. And so we decided we'd make it very open-ended. What happened was we put it into Scars of Mirrodin. Originally, in original Scars of Mirrodin, we just put it on blue and artifact cards. And the idea being that Proliferate, it was best in a blue. Blue was the color that was most about, we thought, extrapolating and adding token counters. It just felt flavorfully right. We would then later put it in Mirrodin Besiege, we put it in black and green. And now, We sort of feel like blue, black, and green are the proliferate colors when we do proliferate. And then we in New Phyrexia, we did more in blue, black, and red, green, but we did one in red. Red is not really a proliferate color, but we did do one in red. Okay, so that was... So we did it in Scarza Mirrodin, and it was quite exciting. Okay, so it came out. Players really liked it. It was very popular. In fact, it was one of the... I think Infect rated slightly higher than it, but it was like the number two rated mechanic, I think, in Scarza Mirrodin. So anyway, it was highly liked. People really, really enjoyed it. So we wanted to bring it back. It felt like a cool mechanic to bring back. So when we were making Kaladesh, so Kaladesh was an artifact set. It had sort of a... It was sort of like an inventor set with the flavor, but with quirky artifacts. But we both had a mechanic called Fabricate that put +1/+1 counters on creatures, or you can make tokens. And it just, as a general rule, had a lot of +1/+1 counters in it, partly because Fabricate existed, partly because one of the things we did is when we wanted to represent people using technology, +1/+1 counters, oh, because I have technology, I'm stronger than the technology. So a lot of the ways we were showing invention was it was through +1/+1 counters is one of the ways we showed it. So we wanted to bring it back. So we were going to put it in a Kaladesh. The problem we ran into was because it turns out that proliferating +1/+1 counters is stronger than -1/-1 in poison. Poison, you need 10 to lose. So, you know, the reason, by the way, the other thing we liked about proliferate in original Scarza Mirrodin was it added in this other flavor to poisoning. Because the idea was I could just poison someone out, or if I could get just one poison counter on them in a blue deck, I could proliferate them to death, meaning I could play this control strategy where it wasn't that I did a lot of poison to you, I got one through, and then I could fan it with proliferate over time, then it ended up being really interesting. But anyway, so it turned out in a set with a lot of +1/+1 counters, proliferate was just a little bit too strong. And so we ended up pulling back. Like, we thought about it. It was actually in the set for a while, but ended up, it just, in order to balance it, we had to make the proliferate card so weak because it was so powerful with +1/+1 counters, and it was a set that had a lot of +1/+1 counters. We then considered again in Aether Revolt, even though we said no in Kaladesh. It seemed so synergistic. We tried to get in Aether Revolt a set later, and ended up with the same place of, okay, it's too good. There's no way to do it without causing, like, we really, really had to weaken it because it was so good with +1/+1 counters. Then, in Ravnica Allegiance, that was our third trip to Ravnica, we tried it with, as the Simic mechanic. And what it turned out there was, it just, one of the things that you need in a guild mechanic is they have to blend properly with the things around it. And while Simic was making counters, there wasn't enough counters around it. So it runs into the problem where people playing Simic want these cards, but other people don't. And so they always go to the people playing Simic. And so it gets overpowered. And it creates a lot of repetition of play. It means, if you're playing Simic, you always have access to proliferate. And so we ended up pulling up because it just didn't quite fit. But the third time we tried it was the charm. War of the Spark. So War of the Spark was the big conclusion to the Bolas arc, where Bolas is trying to steal all the sparks of all the planeswalkers, or many of the planeswalkers, from the multiverse. So he makes this army, this eternal zombie army, and he draws all the planeswalkers, or not all, but many of the planeswalkers to Ravnica and traps them there. And there's a giant war. But anyway, so the set ended up having this this Planeswalker theme. We had 36 Planeswalkers. Most sets at the time had 2 to 3 Planeswalkers. So it was a lot of Planeswalkers. Planeswalkers use loyalty counters. And the main mechanic they used +1/+1 counters was a mass. So a mass, we were trying to represent the zombie Eternals. So instead of having lots of individual counters, it generated one army token. And then, if you already had the army token, instead of making a new one, it just put the counters on that. So the army token kept getting bigger rather than making lots of zombies. So proliferate worked well with that because it made the zombie army, one, bigger, but it didn't boost lots and lots of things. That the +1/+1 counters were more concentrated to a mass. So because you had planeswalkers and a mass, it actually was the right mix, and proliferate was a really cool mechanic. Now, the neat thing about proliferate is, remember, the first time it was in Scars of Mirrodin, the main counters were -1, -1, and poison, and a little bit of charge counters. In War of the Spark, the main counters were loyalty counters, and +1, +1 on the mass mechanic. So while proliferate was in both sets, it just played really differently. And that's one of the fun things about the mechanic is it really has a lot of flexibility. So it's really dependent on the things around it. And that's one of the things I enjoy most about proliferate is it is a really open-ended mechanic. It does cool things that you really can figure out, what do I want to do with it? And there's a lot of neat things you can do with it depending on what kind of counters you're playing with. Okay, next time it shows up is in Modern Horizons. It's on one black card and one colorless card. It then shows up next in Modern Horizons 2 on one white card and two green cards. As I said, proliferate mostly is supposed to be in black, green, and blue. I think if it's used in white and it's mostly used to pump +1, +1 counters, that is something white can do. Okay, the next time it shows up is in Infinity. We have stickers. And one of the abilities you can get on one of the stickers is proliferate. It's a triggered thing. I forget when it proliferates. But a creature that, when it attacks, proliferates, or deals combat damage, proliferates. I forget the exact usage I had, but an Infinity sticker does use proliferate. Okay, which gets us to Phyrexia, All Will Be One. So we were back in New Phyrexia, in Phyrexia, All Will Be One. We were setting up for the giant Phyrexian War, which was the end of the Phyrexian arc. And so we decided before we went and did the giant war, we wanted to visit New Phyrexia. Now, the Phyrexians in general, as a creature, are a bit ooky. They definitely have body horror, and they're a little on the freaky side. So we decided that for the Phyrexian War, we wanted to minimize how often they showed up. And so early on, they showed up in ones and twos and small numbers, and Dominaria United, they were just in black. But we said, you know, there are fans of Phyrexia. If we're going to do a Phyrexian arc, we should have one set that's just wall-to-wall Phyrexia. That's what Phyrexia All Will Be One was. So one of the things is we had to revamp things. We were trying to feel like Phyrexians. And one of the things we realized is there's some stuff we had done before that we wanted to do differently. One of the biggest things is R&D had kind of cooled a bit to -1, -1 counters. So we did try -1, -1 counters, but decided, can we not have -1, -1 counters? And that's when they made an interesting choice. I said, instead of -1, -1, or +1, +1, what if our dominant counter was something different, which ended up being oil counters? And the idea was oil counters allowed us to just do different things, and we could bring back proliferate. Like, one of the things we said is there were three things that players most associated with the Phyrexians, which was poison, proliferate, and Phyrexian mana. All three, which had some problems. We didn't want to bring infect back, so we ended up making toxic, which was a variant, but it did have poison. We brought back Phyrexian mana, but very specifically on some planeswalkers, but in a very tight circumstance. But we did bring it back. And finally, proliferate, we're like, well, let's bring proliferate back, but let's do something different with it. So the neat thing about Phyrexian All Will Be One is that the oil counters did a lot of different types of things. One of the things about it, because it was an unnamed counter, different cards could care about it in different ways. The only rule was that you wanted more oil counters because proliferate existed. So the idea is we made cards where having oil counters were good, not ones that were bad. We didn't make ones where, like, oh, the more oil counters, the worse it is. Oil was mostly something you, as a Phyrexian player, wanted to have. And it was a lot of fun. Like I said, the fact that we've had three major sets that used proliferate, you know, the first one was all about poison -1, -1 counters. The second one was all about loyalty and +1, +1 counters. The third was all about oil counters. The fact that each of those three environments worked really differently, and proliferate was a cool, like, intricate part of the environment, yet each of those played differently, just shows what that we can do with proliferate. And proliferate is pretty cool in that way. We did also consider using it for March of the Machine, but we decided that we had just used it. We really had done a lot with it in Phyrexia All Will Be One, and we were doing more +1, +1 counter stuff in March of the Machine. And proliferate is tough if you use too much +1, +1 counters. You can use a little bit. A mass worked fine. But if you're spreading them too much, proliferate becomes a little bit too strong in limited formats. So we ended up not using March of the Machine. It next got used in one of the decks in Universes Beyond Fallout, one of the Fallout decks. And then it got used again in Modern Horizons 3 Commander. So you'll notice how all the Modern Horizon decks, although this was the Commander deck, one of the Commander decks, but 1, 2, and at least one of the Commander decks in 3 all made use of it. It's a pretty fun mechanic, and whenever we get to the decadent design of Modern Horizons, we often use it because it's a lot of fun. Its final usage showed up in the Mystery Booster 2 on a playtest card called Phyrexian Seedling that had Proliferate Link. One of the things I started doing in unsets, I think I started with Squirrel Link, where I took a Life Link and I did variants on Life Link. So like Squirrel Link, you get a squirrel for every damage you do as opposed to gaining a life like Life Link. So Proliferate proliferates once for each damage you do. I think it's on a small creature that you could, if you buff up, maybe you can proliferate more. Okay. We're almost to work here today. So Proliferate. I believe we will use Proliferate again for a couple reasons. One is it's a very popular mechanic. I really think the openness of it and the creativity with it, it's definitely one of those mechanics you're like, what can I do with this? And we keep making more cards with counters. We are a big fan of counters, counters on creatures, counters on players. And so there's always new and different things you can proliferate, so that is fun. So like, just what proliferate, like, proliferate is a neat mechanic that is dependent upon this extra system, the extra system being cards with counters. Well, you know what? We really like cards with counters, so we keep sort of making things for that system. So Proliferate keeps being fun. That's the reason why I'm pretty sure we will bring it back, in that it just interacts in such fun ways with lots of things. Now, the big challenge, and this is the reason where I don't think Proliferate's just going to come back willy-nilly, is in any set where plus one counters play a major role, meaning where you can put a lot of plus one counters on a lot of creatures, it becomes hard to use Proliferate, because Proliferate, then the power Proliferate is boosting all your creatures, and that is tough to do. So I will say I think Proliferate will come back, but I, as evidenced by the fact that we tried it in three different sets that didn't end up, you know, making it, that's a pretty telling sign. And what that says to me is Proliferate is very fun. There's a lot of cool things you can do with it, but it itself inherently has some dangerous qualities to it, which we have to be very careful when making a set. I think those dangerous qualities are part of the thing that make it exciting. It's very open-ended. It does a lot of cool things. But sometimes those cool things can be a little explosive. And so in a limited environment, we have to be very careful to make sure that it's doing what we need for it to do. That said, I've not made this list. Maybe one of these days I'll do a top 20 of my favorite mechanics of all time. I don't think I've done that. I did do one. I take that back. I did do that podcast. So for one of the talks I did for MagicCon, I did the top 20 mechanics of all time. And Proliferate was in that list. And I did a podcast on that. So I, in fact, have done that. So I guess not only is it, would I have done it? I have done it. And you guys can go listen to it already. How's that for but anyway, I'm now at work. So any last thoughts on Proliferate? I'm very proud of the mechanic. It's one of the things that I love most is Magic has a lot of creativity to it. The combinatorics of Magic are part of the most fun parts about it. And I like making a mechanic that when you see it, you're like, I'm not even sure what to do with this. This is a cool thing that does interesting stuff, but I need to go look at the history of Magic to understand what I can do. And I love the fact that we'll make new cards and all of a sudden you'll go, ooh, maybe I could use Proliferate with this. And that's one of the things that I really enjoy about it. Does Proliferate ever cause us problems developmentally with play design? It's something we think about. I think when we make a charge counter, or sorry, a card with counters, we do think about the fact that Proliferate exists. We're aware of that. Luckily for most things beyond plus one counters, most counters grow at a rate that getting an extra counter usually isn't a giant growth issue, a big issue with growth, but it is something we have to think about and something we have to be cautious of. But anyway, I do think we'll see Proliferate again. I don't think we'll see it willy-nilly. I think it'll be done carefully. But it is, I think, one of our finest mechanics. So anyway, that is my podcast on Proliferate. So, by the way, if there are other mechanics, I've done a bunch of podcasts on I've done like flashback and kicker and cycling and stuff. But if there are any mechanics that you would like to hear a podcast on, feel free to give me a ring. Or not ring, but so I have social media. Contact me on social media and let me know other mechanics that you might like to hear a podcast on. So anyway, guys, I am now at work. So we all know what that means. It means at the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to make it magic. I'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.